tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
I gotta get out of this forest. I hate it here. I gotta get out.
Oh,
please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I don't want to die.
So you want to live?
Yes, I'd do anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Wonderful. Well, you should return to your friends. Please go back to the forest.
Oh, please kill me. Please kill me. I can't go back in there.
Lion, there's nothing to be afraid
of.
Oh,
yes, there is. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Lions and tigers.
You're a lion.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just a big scaredy cat. Meow.
Lion, your friends need you, and they need you to be you.
But what have I got? What have I got? I don't have any courage, and I can't even growl. Meow.
Lion, I think there's something you should see.
I really hope it's not much further from here. It's getting awfully dark. Goodness, I'm so relieved that we ran into the lion and that he's coming with us. I mean, he's a lion. I'm not sure why he doesn't have more confidence in himself, though. Does he not realize who he is?
I hope there aren't any strange creatures lurking around us waiting to pounce. In case they do, I'm glad Lion's here to pounce right back. With those strong legs of his, I bet he could pounce from here to Kansas. But he keeps saying he's so ordinary, and his other lion friends are so much more special than he is. If Lion could only see just how extraordinary he is, why, there's nothing that could stop him.
If only I had a growl like the lion, I wouldn't be so scared. I wonder why he doesn't growl more often. I think he just needs to try because I know it's in him. He's the lion. Hey, where did he go anyway?
Lion, do you see now who you were already meant to be?
Gosh, do you really think I have what it takes to be that extraordinary, brave lion?
Of course. It's always been inside you. It's just a matter of believing it and not being afraid to let it show.
There is a place we'll go where there is only quiet and flowers and butterflies. A rainbow sits beside it.
Thank you.
hope you've been enjoying this series as much as we've been enjoying programming it all for you. You know, discovering your potential. There's a lion inside of you. God has already created who you are. It's not where you got to read more books about it or listen to more things about stuff and how to discover it. You are who you are, who God made you to be. It's already in you. The potential is there. The assignment we have is to discover it. And to help us with that, you know, we've been talking about in this series all about discovering your potential. And I have this weekend invited someone who is such a dear brother and a friend of ours. He's known Pastor Wayne for years, and I caught up with him, and our friendship has just grown with one another. This guy bleeds new hope. If you went to his church in Lompoc, California, you would see new hope all over his church. He loves the Lord. He loves New Hope. He loves what we do here. He's been so supportive in so many different ministries that we have here in Hawaii. I want you to hear him teach you and teach us all about discovering that potential. Would you welcome Pastor Bernie Fetterman as he comes out? Bernie.
Hello, everybody. Oh, aloha, yeah. Hey, thank you for that wonderful welcome yesterday you provided for me. I appreciate it. But you know, we were gathering together. We were praying for the absence of tsunami, but also for the presence of God. And haven't we felt His presence today already? Thank you, Lord. It's an honor to be here with you, this wonderful church. God has taught me so much through New Hope. God has taught me so much through Pastor Wayne and Pastor Elwin, wonderful team here. I want to talk to you today about letting go what's in your hand. When my son was in about the second grade, we went to Ronald's house, Ronald McDonald's house. And because I'm always watching my weight, I buy my little hamburger, 3 bites and it's done. Little Diet Coke, 4 slurps and it's over. And I'm looking at my son's Happy Meal. He's playing with the toy. Second grader fascinated by a little trinket. And all of a sudden, those golden French fries started speaking to me. And I reached down. And I went to grab one of those fries and put it to my lips. And in a voice that didn't sound anything like a second grader, he said, "Those are mine." I thought for a moment, "What do you mean those are yours?" And it dawned on me. He doesn't realize it was dear old dad that put the money on the counter so he could have those fries. He didn't realize I had money in my wallet. I could buy my own fries. I didn't need his stinking fries. And he didn't realize that inside Ronald's house was an ATM. I have a card. I could get enough money to buy enough fries to bury him in French fries. But the best one was this. My right hand is big enough, strong enough, I could grab both his wrists and with my left hand eat all his fries. The Father giveth, the Father taketh away. But then I thought for a moment, how many times does God reach down and ask for one of our fries? Oh, okay, some of our time, some of our talent, some of our treasures. And I believe it breaks the Father's heart when we reach out to His wrist and we say, "No, those are my fries. That's my time, that's my money, that's my talent, that's my gift." And kind of like the lion in the beginning of the song, we can say, "I don't have it." Lions, tigers, and bears. Fear, inadequacy, insecurity. But as Pastor Elwin has so eloquently taught you these last few weeks, and I've been watching all the messages, we've learned that there's a potential inside of us that God has placed there by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's good stuff inside of you. There are dreams yet to be released that are resident inside of you. David, the shepherd boy, David, the one who fought Goliath, David, the one who was king, wrote some wonderful words one day, and they're in the Bible, and they're at the top of your notes. Would you read them with me together, 1 Chronicles 29:14? Let's read them. Ready? Go. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." If File that verse deep in your heart. Because everything we have comes from God. Now, I wonder, because we're in church today or we're watching this message elsewhere on the internet campus, maybe you haven't realized that confession is good for the soul. So we're going to have a little confession here. I want to ask you this question, and let's be honest, we're in church. How many of you have ever re-gifted before? Somebody gave you a gift, and you gave it to someone else. Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, I got both hands up. Now, that's okay. Nothing wrong with re-gifting, but at least get new wrapping paper and get a new card. It's not cool to cross out the name and just write in another one. But can I tell you this? God is the only one I know who gives us a gift and we give it back to Him. We re-gift to Him and He gets excited. He gets blessed. He gets overjoyed. Oh, look at my kids are coming back with just one fry that I gave them. Some of their time, some of their talent, some of their treasure. You know, some people in life are kind of like this bucket, simple bucket. And I brought this bucket here to remind us that there are bucket people in the world. Bucket people are the ones who say, "Bless me, Lord, my bucket runneth over. Bless me, God, fill me up. I need more, 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 not just of your love or your power. I just need more blessings and more benefits, better health, better provision, just God, gifts, talents, time, treasures. Let's fill the bucket." And then God reaches down and says, "Can I have just a little of what's in your bucket?" "Oh, no, Lord. I don't have the courage. I don't feel adequate. I don't have what it takes." Or a spirit of scarcity takes over, where we say, "If I give God, if I give the Lord through my church, if I give my community any of what's in here, I'll never get it back again." And so we keep piling up in our bucket. But I want to submit to you today and also challenge you today to not be bucket people, but be pipe people. Pipe people? Not smoking pipe, but pipe people. Where God can flow in you and through you, where God can work in you, to you, through you. Think how the world would be. Think of what New Hope would be. Think of what my church would be like if everyone there said, and everyone here said, "God, flow through me." What excitement happens? What courage is lifted up? What potential is realized when God can flow through you? "Oh, Lord, here comes another blessing. Thank you for that. I release, Lord. Here it comes. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes." You're like a conveyor belt, a pipe, or a bucket. Pipe or a bucket. His name was Moses. And God called Moses and said, "Moses, I want to use you." And Moses said, "Lord, I don't speak so well. I have a stuttering problem. Can you find someone else?" "Moses, I want you." "Who am I to do this?" Moses says. Moses says, "It's not all about you. I am with you. Who are you, God? It's your power and your blessing. I don't believe you can use me, Lord." And then the Lord said to him, remember the story, "Would you throw down the stick that's in your hand?" Moses had become quite comfortable with that stick. But I want to submit to you this morning that when Moses finally laid down the stick, the ordinary became extraordinary in the hands of God. The miracle of realizing your potential doesn't happen until you let go of what's in your hand. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is a story about Jesus filling the multitudes. I just love that story. All the disciples are there on the hillside, 5,000 men, plus their wives, plus their children. Some Bible scholars say could have easily been over 9,000 people there. And Jesus says to them, "Everybody sit down. We're going to have lunch." The disciples got nervous. There wasn't an ABC store in sight. No Sam's Club. And they start scouring the crowd and they say, does anybody have any food? I could see them out there. Anybody food? And one thing you need to understand is the little boy who gave up his lunch was Jewish. I was raised Jewish. I have a Jewish mama. You know what I know about Jewish mamas? They never let their little boys go out to play without packing them a lunch. There must have been hundreds and hundreds of lunches on that hillside that day. But we only read of one in the Bible that was released. I wonder how many bucket people were there that day who said, oh, here come the disciples. They're looking for food. And they took their lunches and hid them behind their back. Disciples said, hey, we're in a bind here. Jesus is expecting us to provide food. We don't have any food. Anybody have any food? Not me. While their lunches were behind their backs. But one little boy, I believe, had faith in his heart. And he said, if Jesus can take my lunch, he could feed the crowd. And that little boy had the faith to give up his lunch. And Jesus took that lunch and lifted it up to God and said, God bless this lunch. And the Lord began to break off bread, and bypassing all natural bakery laws, more bread appeared. And without going fishing, more fish appeared. There was yellowfin and ahi and big eye. I mean, the fish just started growing and growing. Pumpernickel, rye bread, sourdough, whole grain wheat. It was all there. Well, not exactly, but close. And dear ones, I want to have faith like that little boy, don't you? Faith that says, God, you can take my ordinary and make it extraordinary for you. We often feel inadequate. We often feel like we need to hide what we have in our buckets or behind our backs. But this series has challenged you to let go of what's in your hand, to realize your potential. Now, I must confess to you, I am one of Pastor Wayne's biggest fans in the world. I know you think you are, but no, it's me. I am. But I know something. I'm not as talented as he is. I can't play the guitar like he can. I can't sing like he can. And he told me to tell you this. I'm not as handsome as he is. I'm not as intelligent as Pastor Elwin. I'm not as good looking as him either. I'm not as tall and slender as he is. Yeah, duh. But God hasn't asked me to be Pastor Wayne. God hasn't asked me to be Pastor Elwin. God has asked me to be Bernie Fetterman. And there's nobody that is youer than you. And God just wants you to release what you have. But I believe one of the biggest stumbling blocks of all is this one. People don't feel worthy to serve the Master. They feel like something in their past doesn't allow them to serve today. There's too much junk in their trunk. They don't want to let go of the past. And they just say, oh, the Lord can't clean me up. I can't serve. There's too much darkness. But I'm here to tell you that the work that Jesus did on Calvary's cross was more than enough for us. I believe with all of my heart that you can stand before God and say, Lord, when you said it is finished, something was lacking. And you would be wrong. Because when Christ opened up what was in his hands, when Christ let go of salvation that was inside of him for you and for me, when he shed his blood so we could be whiter than the snow, when he was put in the tomb and then rose again on the third day so his power could live in you. Folks, that is more than enough to make you right with God, to save your soul so you could serve him today. In your notes, there's a promise for you. Provisionally, I have everything I need to fulfill God's plan for my life at this moment. Whatever you have is what it takes. God's calling is God's enabling. Where God guides, he provides. Let me say it again. God's calling is God's enabling. Whatever you have is what it takes. Where God guides, he provides. In Acts chapter 3, we have a story of two men who realized their potential. And I think we can learn from them. And would you read this narrative with me as it comes up on the screen? Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Let's read together. Ready? Go. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him up by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It's a great story. And from it, we learn the following. To realize your potential, number one, you must do what is right. You must do what is right. You see, it's a time of prayer, and they're doing the right thing. They're going to pray. But we know something else about prayer. It's not just talking to God, it's listening to God. And that's why it's so important for us to do our devotions every day. Pastor Wayne has taught me and thousands of pastors who have in turn taught thousands and thousands of churches how to use simple soap every day to read the Word and allow it to be in part of your heart, to hide it deep in your soul. So always do what's right if you want to live out your potential. The second thing is you must be, number two, willing to be interrupted. See, God knows whether or not you'll bother. Interesting story that we read. They're about to pray, and right before they open the door for the temple and walk in, here's this man saying, "Can you help me?" God knows whether or not your schedule has any room for him. I want to give you a little prayer to pray. I think we should pray it every day. Lord, interrupt me. Lord, I have my plans. I have my schedule. I know what I'm going to do for the next few days or a few weeks or a few months. But Lord, if anywhere I'm not paying attention, would you interrupt me if you have a different plan? If there's an opportunity for me to serve and I'm missing it, Lord, would you speak to me? Now, some of you are probably saying throughout this series, "Boy, that's a great series. Pastor L went wonderful. Oh, we've been listening and learning from Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion. That's a great series. Everybody else needs to hear it." Ah. But is God speaking to you? And some of you, you're already serving in ministry. You're saying, "Good, I'm secure in my ministry. I'm doing what I do. I'm kind of like a bucket person. I'm tied into that ministry." But I wonder if God is interrupting you too and saying, "Hey, how about this other ministry?" You go, "Oh, no, I'm afraid to do that one." And the courage is gone. And see, God wants you to be willing to be interrupted, to be moved, to have your plans changed. And then it's going to stretch you like a rubber band. It's going to drive you to your knees to depend upon Him in a greater way. But go for it. The third thing, if you want to realize your potential, is you must pay attention to need. Listen to the announcements as they're given. Listen to the call as it comes forward. Listen to the needs in your neighborhood, even in your own family, where somebody might need you in that very moment. I was impressed as I went out in front of this wonderful church and saw a big tent with all these computers there where people are helping others find their fit and their ministry and a place to serve. What a wonderful assignment. And those people out there are serving so well to say, "We've got a church that needs you, that has a place for you." And if you pay attention to those needs, You'll be able to minister, and God will flow through you like a pipe. The beggar came every day, and some people would drop coins down. I am told by the scholars that beggars always looked to the ground. They were ashamed. They never looked up. They looked to the ground, not showing their face. They looked to the ground, watching for coins to drop. But that day, Peter and John looked at him, and in their gaze upon him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were discerning what he needed. See, this man didn't need a few more coins. He needed the healing of God. He didn't need a few more coins. He needed to be touched by Jesus. If you want to realize your potential, pay attention. But also, number four, let go of what you have been given. Let go of what you've been given. Don't grab God's wrist and say, "This is mine." See, we breathe today because God allows us to breathe. Every tick of the clock is a gift from God to us. You know that. God was leading Peter and John to this man. God was leading Peter and John to this moment. But God was leading Peter and John to a place where they could heal this man. Remember, provisionally, these two men had everything they needed to fulfill God's will and purpose in their life at that moment, but also in the beggar's life. Whatever they had was what it took. In Acts 3:6, Peter said, "I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but I will give you what I have." God only asks you to release what He's placed inside you, the potential within. I wish we would spend more time telling God to go ahead and have His way. I wish my church and your church and all the churches in the world would simply say, "Lord, have your way in us." I wish we would spend less time telling God what He can't do and more time telling Him that we're willing to do what He's asking us to do. I wish we would not squander the blessings of God, but realize His promise and His power and His presence give us courage within. Number five, to realize your potential, you must realize your source is God Himself. Your marriage is not all on your shoulders. Oh yeah, there's work to do. Can you imagine, if you don't know me very well, but boy, my wife has a lot of work to do with someone like me. Yeah. But you know what? My marriage and raising my two adult children and now my two grandchildren, if you want to hear grandchildren's stories, I'll be right outside at the end of the service. But you know what? My marriage and my ministry and my family, my career and your future is not all incumbent upon you. Your life is not on your shoulders alone, but it's God's life through you. God is your source. They come to this man and they say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." It's not Peter and John's name. It's not the name of New Hope. It's the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And God works in us and through us to bring life to people. And to realize your potential, number six, you must be willing to risk. You must be willing to risk. Pastor Elwin has challenged you. This is an all-out deal. Go for it. He challenged you last week to take a risk, to say bye to some friends in your life that maybe you need to let go. By the way, if you have lousy friends, fire your friends, get new ones. It's good. Maybe you have a boyfriend. You shouldn't be with him any longer. Just say bye-bye. God will give you a new one, better one. Yeah. Don't do that if you're married, though. Get close. Get close. Big howly pastor came from the big island of California and told us to leave our wife. No, I didn't say that. Press into God's presence and be willing to risk. See, Peter and John go to the end of their human ability. They pick the man up, but only God can make him walk. There are things you will do as you begin to serve, as you let go of what's in your hand, as you begin to realize your potential. Then God comes alongside you and takes what you've given Him. The ordinary makes it extraordinary. I love this church. I love this church. Matter of fact, almost 15 years ago now, Pastor Wayne and Anna Cordero left Hilo and came here and started New Hope with a dream in their hearts. And I'll tell you, if I've ever met a pipe person in my life, that's Pastor Wayne. He lets God flow to him and through him. Another great pipe person, Pastor Elwin, God flows to him and through him. And I think of all the benefit and blessing that Pastor Wayne and Pastor Elwin have provided for thousands and thousands of pastors. I came here about 13 years ago to the second pastor's practicum Pastor Wayne ever did. And 2 years later, because of the lessons I learned here, our church doubled. Then it's tripled and it's quadrupled. And we have the same kind of heart that you have here to reach the lost and let people use their gifts for the Lord and their talents for God. But it takes risk. If we are willing to let go of our fear, if we're willing to let go of our feelings of inadequacy and limitation and embrace courage, God can do great things in us and through us. Number 7, I think this is very important. If you want to realize your potential, you must be willing to allow God to have all the credit. You must be willing to let God have all the credit. You see, some people serve because they're trying to get a pat on the back. You know about the human being, right? We're the only animal, if you pat our back, our head swells. It's true. We walk around with big head. But you know what? If you're willing to say, oh, no, no, it's not me. See, after Peter and John raised this man up and he began to walk, the people came and said, you guys are amazing. Think of all the marketing opportunities, the networking opportunities. Could think of Peter and John Global Ministries, LLC, worldwide distribution. Stadiums filled with people wanting to get healed. But Peter and John, and don't miss this point, weren't saying it's about us. We possess anything great. All they were saying is we're just pipes. Jesus flows through us. Why do you marvel at us? They say, it is the Lord who has done this. The Lord you have crucified is the one who had the power to heal this man. There's no boast. There's no pride in them at all. I want to say this to you. The world is a better place. Because people like Peter and John said, we don't have what you're asking for, but we'll release to you what we do have. The world is a better place because Moses didn't say, I won't lay down my rod. The world is a better place because Noah didn't say, I don't like boats and I can't stand animals. The world's a better place because David didn't say, I don't do giants. The world's a better place because Martin Luther King didn't say, I don't have a dream, but I do have a dream. The world's a better place because Mother Teresa didn't say, I don't do charity work. The world's a better place because a little woman who found favor with God named Mary didn't say, I don't do virgin births. The world's a better place because Pastor Wayne didn't say, I have enough going on with one of the fastest growing churches in America. One of the most influential churches in America. I don't have time for other pastors. But he gave. I submit to you, the world is a better place. Because a circuit court judge named Elwin Ahu didn't say, I don't have the goods to do ministry. But rather he said, yes to the Lord, I will serve you. And the world's a better place. Because Jesus Christ didn't say, I don't do crosses. But he gave his life for us. He let go of what was in his hand. He shed his blood so we could be saved. And folks, I'm sorry, but that story never grows old for me. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said these words, not my will, God, yours be done. You see, the Lord placed inside his son the potential to save all of humanity. And Jesus let go of what was in his hand for you and for me. And he saved us. And he provided salvation for anyone in this place. Anyone hearing me now who's never given their life to Jesus. That is such good news for us. Such wonderful news. And the world's a better place if only you and I will say yes to Jesus and make the most eternal decision we can ever make, and not just for our salvation, but every day. Lord, I want to be a pipe, not a bucket. I want to be a channel of your blessing, not a reservoir. I want to let go of what's in my hand so you can use me for your glory and for your honor. Would you take your hands and just place them in front of you? Lord, these hands remind us of what we can grab, what we can hold, or what we can let go of. These hands remind us that sometimes we're generous, and sometimes because of a spirit or an attitude of scarcity, we hold on, afraid to let go. But I pray today that we will be people who will let go of what's in our hand to realize our potential in you. Now, still with your hands out, I ask you to repeat these words after me, if you would. Dear God, I thank you for your love. Jesus, I thank you. You gave your life for me. I open my heart to you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you that you died. I thank you that you rose again. I invite your forgiveness into my life. I invite your power into my heart. And now I say this so that you can hear me, so that those around me can hear me, so the devil can hear me, and so I can hear myself. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I invite him into my heart. Amen. Amen. If this is the first time that you're asking Jesus to be your Lord, if this is the first day you're letting go of the most important thing, the control that's in your heart and in your hand, would you raise your hand? I want to agree with you today as Christ comes into your life. Yep. 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 Over here too. Yep. Over there. We celebrate your decision. Wow. And now I want to, that's such an exciting thing, dear ones. There is no greater miracle than when Christ comes in the heart of someone and changes their eternity. We got to celebrate just one more, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now with your hands still out, if you would, just, Lord, I bless these people today. Oh, God, by the power of your Spirit. I believe the best days of this church are in front of her, not behind her. There are more lives to touch, more people to be healed, more marriages to be saved, more dreams yet to be released. Lord, may we be people who say, we will give you what's in our hand. We will give you what's in our heart. I pray against fear. I pray against a lack of courage. I pray against worry and doubt and defeat. And I pray, Lord, for a spirit of release to come to these people and through these people. Make us your pipes, Lord, where you will flow to us and through us to a world that needs to see Jesus Christ in our lives. Bless this congregation, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Pastor Bernie, what a great heart. Let's all stand together. You know what I love about what he just taught us this weekend? It's the fact that you have it in you. And everything he said to you today is a promise from God. Every single thing that he said is a promise straight from the throne of God into your heart. Hang on to the promise, because we know that God never lies. And you discover exactly who you are. Let's pray once more as we conclude. Father, thank you for Bernie. Thank you for a pastor who has come all the way here to share your heart with us, Lord. We pray that you bless his ministry. We pray that you bless his church as it reaches out into his community and into the world. And I'll thank you, Father, for the word that's in our hearts. May we now believe that in our hearts and now move into action. Help us to live our lives and make the decisions that's going to reveal that potential within us. We love you, Father. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Seal that to your hearts with a clap. Someone as you go. Have a great week.